Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Action Takers for Pit Bulls. Okay. All right. You hear Debbie?
Yes, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Welcome to Action Takers for Pit Bulls, number six. Counting down, number six already. We're doing the Dogs of Dowdy Ferry with Jeremy Baugh. Really sad situation. He's been bugging away at this for quite some time now, and can't seem to get ahead. So I want to give thanks to Debbie, obviously, because she sent me everything and showed me throat. And I want to give a shout-out to my son, Jason. And I want to give a shout out to everybody out there who's listening. Get more and more callers in here. We need more participation, more people, more action takers for our pit bulls. They need us really bad. They can't speak for themselves, and we have to do it for them. And I'm going to be a loud voice for them. Try to be anyhow and give it my best shot. So, I'll see, Debbie, did you want to add anything at all? The shows, to try to refrain from any noise in the background because it picks up on everything, like TV and stuff like that, so make sure you can turn that off. So the shows are live recorded, so if you can't make it now or you've got to leave now, you can always call back in that number. Debbie, add anything else?
Yeah, the Dine will be taking callers later on the show, and that number is always area code 310-982-4270, and you'll be in the queue and press 1 to speak, everyone. So however, without any noises in the background, TVs, radios, and conversations. And you can also call in from Skype and listen in worldwide, okay? So, unlimited listeners, you can always go back to these shows and listen to them, and you could share them. The more voices and action takers out there, everyone, the better. And I just wanted to let everybody know my Facebook account has been hacked. So if you're trying to get a hold of me, please try to get hold of me on Twitter or LinkedIn. Send me a message or something. Or voicescarryforanimals@aol.com. Okay, I'm trying to get back into Facebook, but I'm having difficulties. So it might be a while. I don't know. But be careful,
I'm
everyone.
Gonna add, if anybody needs to get a hold of you and can't and don't know how, they can go through me and I can get you the message.
Yeah, there you go. Or Ray Bittner, Mama Cat. There's another one. Gary Bowden. I got to get a hold of Gary because his show's this Thursday, Diane, and I got to get a hold of him. Yeah. So if you would for me, please, or I can reach him on Twitter. Because I'm not sure about the show yet, So go ahead. We'll work something out. Yep.
Okay. I know that Jeremy has a lot to cover. I want to talk about possibly more than what we're going to have time for, but we talked about this and we could come back on another day. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Jeremy on now. Jeremy?
Okay.
Diane?
Yes. Yeah. Hey, Diane. Thanks for having me on your one of your first of a few shows. Hope they continue to grow and grow and grow, including your audience as well. The more there's power and numbers, and the more numbers and knowledge that you get out there to people, the more power we have as activists and animal lovers and pit bull lovers to save these animals. So.
Yeah. So. You want to, cause there are some people who don't know, if you want to go ahead and explain what it is that's going on there.
Okay, my rescue is called the Dottie Ferry Animal Commission. It started as me as basically a independent rescuer following on Facebook like many of us do, and we see tons and tons and tons of posts out there of about a lot of bad stuff. But this was local in my city, and I felt like we weren't getting movement on the situation, so I had to step in. And I implore anybody that feels like that nothing is being done and they feel like they can do something to stand up and step in. Dottie Ferry Animal Commission was named after a road, the infamous Dottie Ferry Road in Dallas. It's the number one documented dumping ground for dead dogs in the United States of America, if not the world. We don't know as far as that's concerned. But as far as the United States of America, we have more dead dogs dumped on and around the Dottie Ferry Road area than anybody in the United States of America.
Well,
and I started doing this in 2015, was watching a woman going out by herself most of the time, pulling photos and posting photos of dogs, the deceased dogs, most of them in bags, some of them just tossed to the side of the road, already dead. Many of them pit bulls, not all of them. But a lot of pit bulls, mainly in the beginning, were showing up dead out there. Some signs of dog fighting, other signs of—you name it, we've seen it. After we've documented over 1,000 dumped dead dogs with the city of Dallas in the past 7 years, and that is not an embellishment. That's probably an understatement. To where we've actually had about a few hundred before city council told us when we were there speaking that we needed help from the city, that we were embellishing numbers. So we started documenting them and getting service request numbers at first. And then as we grew, we started getting police report numbers when we had a Dallas Police Department Animal Cruelty Unit set up finally. Because of part of Dottie Ferry that we got an Animal Cruelty Unit finally with Dallas Police Department, which is very imperative to have in I think every city, small or large. But to break it down, Dottie Ferry Road is the number one known dumping ground in the United States of America as far as documentation. And it continues, up until a few weeks ago, we've had another dumped dead dog. We do have cameras up, and we have a lot of supporters and a lot of followers now. I can go a million different ways with this. Do you have questions for me? Do you want to guide me into something that you would like me to tell? Because I can start by saying I was an independent rescuer. The first night we went out, I went out there. I went with, her name is Marina Tresovic, very, very just loyal, strong, you can't break her, unbreakable woman that was posting these dead dogs. I reached out to her and I said, hey, you know, I've seen all these dead dogs continuously being posted. Can I come out with you and assess the situation and see if there's anything we can do? So I went out there with her and started watching what she was doing. And she was just pulling up dead dogs from these ditches and the side of the road and opening the bags to show, to make awareness that there's dead dogs and bags being dumped on this, on and around this road. After watching her get a lot of awareness out, but no movement per se, and it's nothing against her, you know, I told her, you know, photos say, pictures say a thousand words, videos say a million. And so I went out there with, I hired a camera crew to go out there with me, and that was the beginning of what we are still working on as far as a documentary called The Dogs of Doughty Ferry. When I had the camera crew out there and they were following Rena and I, we pulled up 14 deceased dogs within a quarter mile on Doughty Ferry Road specifically. 14, one day.
Wow.
After we found all the deceased dogs that we could, we called 911, and all this is documented, and you'll see it on the documentary a little bit later on. I'm hoping it to be released the end of this year, first of next year is what we're looking at. Been talking talking about it for a while, but it keeps on progressing. so there's more and more to add, and our editor is working on that as we speak.
I will interrupt here. The one thing that I guess has always been on my mind, I don't know about anyone else, but why can't these people get caught? There's cameras and everything there. What's stopping you? What's holding you up that you can't, you know, move forward with this?
Well, a lot of it has to do with legal situations. We have caught people dumping dogs, dead dogs, is actually really a person dumping a dead dog. They have been arrested. They have been questioned. We don't get to question them. We don't get to use our questions. Only law enforcement does. So as educated as a lot of the advocates are on these things, you know, at first, it was SPCA that was running animal cruelty in the city of Dallas. But again, it took over 200 dead dogs before the city of Dallas the city council members and the mayor and the city secretary took it seriously enough to understand that this is not just a place that people that lose their dogs go to dump them and I guess release their souls there. That's what I was getting. So it took a long time. And even then, we can only do what, and I've seen this in not just in Doughty Ferry now, and it's just everywhere. We can only do what the district attorney will prosecute and what the law will enforce. We do have some laws that are workable. The people that have been caught so far that have dumped dead dogs have gotten charged, but they can't be charged with animal cruelty without proving that person did the killing of the dog. That's where we're having issues with as far as the dumped dead dogs are concerned. The dumped live dogs, we've caught a few people on the camera with dumping live dogs, and one guy was arrested, an older man was arrested, and used as an example why you don't dump your live dogs, mainly on Doughty Ferry and the surrounding areas. Now, your question was, why don't we catch these people? Well, we do periodically. There's only so much a small group like Doughty Ferry Animal Commission can do as far as cameras are concerned and keeping the cameras going. We used to just utilize trail cams, deer cams is what they would call them, but trail cams to catch a lot of these people. But we've, as we've progressed throughout the years and actually, you know, again, we had to progress with what we were doing. We cannot stay stagnant. We have to continue to move forward. As the years move forward, things change. And we got a new addition to, we lost pretty much the whole original crew from the Dowdy Ferry Animal Commission, and it converted to a whole other crew that jumped on board. So there's a lot of people to thank from the beginning to where we are now as far as that's concerned. We do have cameras up, and they do catch people. The word's out that we have cameras up. We know that. The dumping has gone from 25 to 30 a week, and that's not an embellishment, to maybe 1 to 2 every – I mean, I was actually shocked the last three or four rounds I did that I only found – and I sadly say this – only found 1 or 2 dumped dead dogs. So it has slowed down considerably. I mean, from not today, from when we started – has it stopped? No, it hasn't stopped. Has it moved? Of course it's moved some. And we only can cover so much area with our cameras. These cameras are, and many people that have worked with me with these cameras, they're tedious. We have solar panel live feed cameras now that have data service, like a cell phone. So we don't have to change the battery out. We use data service, so we're paying – each camera is like paying for a cell phone through AT&T. So the cost of that for a small group that, again, we don't raise a lot of funds, only can do so many cameras. Now, that's where the city steps in. That's where the city steps in, and, you know, it was like pulling teeth working with them from the beginning. It's like we were fighting the good guys and the bad guys, good guys to help us and the bad guys trying to figure things out. You know, the first day I showed up on Dowdy Ferry to help this marina woman out, help her figure out what's going on, I had walkie-talkies. I had flashlights. I'd say about 14 people showed up that night. I have all this video. And they were just a bunch of, you know, just animal advocates that wanted to help. So we patrolled that area for a week. And again, it's progression. We didn't, you know, I didn't know how to do this, and that's why I brought the camera crew in to see if we could get the city to help. And when we made that 911 call, when I had the camera crew out there, and they told me, okay, I'll send you to sanitation, because that's what used to happen when we first started. All these bag dogs would just go to sanitation, and nothing would happen. That one phone call and said, I am shooting a documentary, and you're being filmed right now. Got the first police officer out there and law enforcement out there, and then just kind of built from there. And we went through a lot of changes, a lot of trial tribulations. And we have somewhat of a protocol now, which is very helpful to have with the city. And so we do catch people. And we've actually – our biggest accomplishment so far – is catching, and the thing is people say, oh, this is horrific, I don't want to hear this. But the fact is this shows that, and it tells the city council members and the mayor that these people that are dumping these dogs aren't just citizens that don't know what to do with their dogs. We caught, our biggest accomplishment so far is catching a man beating 2 dogs to death in front of our cams. It's horrific. But we had a district attorney that wouldn't let go. We had a judge that would not decrease the bond amount. And we got that guy for 6.5 years in jail for killing 2 pups. Is that enough? No. Is that a start? Is that a milestone for the city of Dallas? And other cities can utilize that situation and say, if you beat these dogs to death, you're going to sit in jail for a long time. Before then, There is nobody that sat in jail for that long that has been out, at least out on Dowdy Ferry, dumping dogs. So we have caught people, and we continue to catch people dumping everything. You know, I mean, it's not just dogs, and that's what we're talking about. But these areas are known dumping areas, and the city of Dallas know that they're dumping areas. It's not just dogs; it's humans as well. We found a few humans out around Dowdy Ferry. It's a lot to take in. There's a lot of hoops that had to be jumped through throughout these years. I was sitting there before I was speaking to you. I was trying to just kind of go through, you know, refresh some of the things that I've somewhere got in the back of my head that I don't even remember until I see it. And I go, oh my God, you know, this was a long effort for somebody to, and for other people to stick with and follow through with. And I can say now our team is at least progressed enough to where we were even, I saw today that Megan, one of our DFAC members, and Wraith, he is our guy that does the surveillance, actually surprised me today, and we're actually getting another pole up down on Dowdy Ferry to where we don't have to deal with having issues with solar panel issues. And so we got another camera going up as we speak. The pole's getting set, and then camera will be up in the next few days, which I'm really, really excited about as well. So we're progressing. There's another few areas that we've been asked to put cameras, and I've been notified, and we just slowly plug away. You know, we're not a big foundation. We're not a big animal rescue as far as funding is concerned. We don't generally try to ask for money. I don't know if it's pride or what. We put in more hours than you can imagine and put in hours. I mean, every one of our crew members, I can sit there and say, has gone through tons and tons of hours and work and investigating and digging and setting locations for the cameras and getting good cameras to work properly, you know, and raising funds for the camera and raising funds for every month. We have a lot, and quite a bit of it comes out of my own pocket, but we have to pay for cell service for our cameras.
And I'm sure that in itself is also a lot of, you know, work on the footwork. You know what I mean? You're doing a lot out there yourself, you know, setting these up.
Well, that's why I believe things happen for a reason at the right time. And, you know, I mean, from Marina starting this whole thing and notifying us on social media about this, you know, people said they knew about it, but, you know, Marina, I'll give Marina the props on putting it out there and getting it to me. And then for me, again, a crew was born. The people that were there from the beginning and showed up and stuck around for quite a few years. And then after them phasing out, and whether it be going to another calling for an animal rescue or just not being able to handle what we see. I mean, opening bags of deceased dogs is not something you handle very easily.
Right.
And I believe every one of my, you know, and everyone, I'll sit there and I can sit there and almost guarantee that every one of my, I can guarantee that every one of our members that have been on Dowdy Ferry, Animal Commission, has gone through some mental, I mean, PTSD situation, you know?
That's what I was getting to. I didn't know how to word it. Yeah, exactly.
And it is, you know, and I talk to a lot of DPD officers, and they say a lot of us say it's hard. It's just as hard to see a dog abused and beat and or killed, decapitated, whatever we find to death. Then, I mean, it's just as hard to see that as it is, you know, some scumbag human that was shot and killed or something. And, you know, and even some of the officers couldn't handle it throughout the years. So, you know, I mean, that's a rather concern for, you know, all of my crew, and including me sometimes. We have our moments where it's just too much to bear, and we got to lean on each other. you know, during that time. You know, a lot of people have volunteered and come out to do a ride along with me. And very few people ever stayed. Again, if you go through the members and the crew, that's 1% of probably people that have gone out there that want to help. So, you know, I mean, this is something that most rescuers don't even want to do.
Yeah, and that has to be so hard, you know, especially, you know, on YouTube, because I know if I see something like that during the day or whatever, I have a hard time sleeping at night, you know, and it doesn't even compare to what you're actually seeing.
And when you say you can't animals. Say me. I appreciate you saying me, but you got to give it to every crew member that I've ever had, past and present, you know.
Yes, exactly. But, I thought it would be for what, I guess you all, for what you all see. It's hard. It has to be very hard. So I know I'm up all night with that image in my head if I see any kind of excuse during the day. And, my younger days, I used to be able to handle it. Now, it's just got to look at it. But, you know, Debbie always says, we've got to look at it so that we can deal with it. You know, make it better. Try to make it better, not just turn your head the other way and say, oh, no, I can't watch that. I can't look at that, you know, and just walk away. That's definitely not the answer.
I understand why it's hard to look at. You know, many, I've had quite a few editors come through in the past, but LTD Media is who's doing the documentary. He's been with us for quite a while now. You know, the people that has stayed, and it is hard to look at. We're actually on the documentary, you know, it's going to be hard to even, you know, we question how are we going to put it out there? Are we going to, you know, if we get it out to film festivals and show people this, what's going on, and get this as an official documentary that gets put out there by, you know, whether it be any type of social media outlet, Netflix or any of those things, you know, that stuff's going to have to be blurred out. But I chose not to do that on my social media, and I actually want to throw up props to Facebook for not blurring everything out and not putting the facts and the truth of what really was happening was seen. You know, but the teammates that I've had that has come through, we go into military mode is what I call it, or police mode when we were out there. You know, we go to work. We know what to do and what our goal is and our job is, and we do it. And you would think sometimes we don't have a heart. Sometimes we're out there and we're standing by a deceased dump dog, and it's just like we're just kind of numb to the point at certain times. But then, you know, then it hits every one of us when we go home. When we see these things. But have we accomplished throughout the 7 years? Absolutely. We've accomplished so much in 7 years. That's a long, long 7 years of fighting. And again, that's just the deceased ones. You know, we can talk about how many easily over 1,000 rescued live ones being dumped. It's known for live and deceased. But like I said, documented-wise, it's the number one documented dumping area for deceased dogs. And basically, in my opinion, an admission to guilt going out there. And a lot of these people are doing it more than one time. You know, we used to see a lot of – and that's what's kind of changed and evolved over the years. We would see patterns back in the day when law enforcement really could have helped and actually found out a lot more information instead of dragging us through the mud and making us blast them before they even did anything. Now I got 11,000 signatures boycotting the city of Dallas until they started helping us with the dumping going on in Dowdy Ferry Road. 11,000. They started a million, but hey, it was enough to get their attention. You know, but now there's protocol. There's people standing up. The city council member that was appointed back in the days that did nothing back in the days has now finally stepped up and is helping as well. He's making sure that those cameras get checked, the ones we have, but not the ones we have, but the ones that the city has, along with the ones that we got. My surveillance team can get that directly to animal cruelty, and then they deal with it from there. A lot of times, don't get updates on these cases, and that's rather frustrating as well. Mainly if we know that there's a dog dumped in front of their camera and not ours, we still report it. We still hope that they have those videos and they caught something. But again, that part of the as far as talking about it with us, they say they can't talk about a case. So we're having.
Are you ready for some callers? It looks like we've got a couple callers here.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, just a second. Hey, I think this is Regina. You're live and on the air. Welcome to.
Hey.
Welcome to Action Takers for Pitbulls. Hello. You got any questions or comments for Jeremy?
Yeah. So my name is Regina. I run a rescue and – or if the car has to go by. I run a rescue and advocacy group in Hampton, Virginia. And, you know, when I started out rescue about 10 years ago, there's a few people on social media that – you know, that caught my attention, and Jeremy, you are one of them. And I almost feel a little choked up talking to you because I've watched you, and, you know, I'm very much like you as far as, like, going out in the field. And I just want to say compassion fatigue is real, but I think for me and maybe for you and your team, you know, you think about the animal. You don't think about yourself when you're out there. There's like a bigger mission, and you have to just like get into gear mentally to be able to go out and do what you do. So thank you for that.
Well, right back at you. I'm the same way. I, when I talk to somebody that's been down this road with me throughout the years, I get choked up.
Yeah, I feel choked up just talking to you, honestly.
And right back at you, when I know somebody has been there and has supported and watched and understands,
yeah.
it means just as much for me to talk to you. Thank you. Because
I want to give you
it's
a
hug. Hard work. Right back at you.
And I want to say that, like, literally, like, my vision is, and it just, you want to know the truth. I thought I was going to be on the show tonight. I keep on screwing up the dates. And when I saw that you were going to be on, I literally went to a quiet spot. And I'm like, I'm calling in because, you know, there's a few things that I have in mind. And one of them is I would love to come out in the field with you at some point if I could ever get over to where you are and share that, you know, that mission with you and just get out there with you and just support what you're doing. I don't want to hog the call. I do have.
I was going to say, I never turn down anybody that wants to come out there with me. I just warn them that it's not. It's even worse in person. It's hard.
I know.
But
I'm kind of built for that. I'm pretty resilient, and you know. Yes, the 19th. Yes.
You'll be sticking on the 19th.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll be most definitely listening. I try to listen as much as I can.
Good.
So I wanted to ask you,
Jeremy.
Yes, ma'am.
It sounds like you've been through a lot with the city, and I understand that whole thing. I wanted to ask just a few, like, maybe off the top, you know, off questions that maybe no one else thought of. You know, okay. I know you have a lot of information to share. So one of the things that I do if I find a situation, like I will literally do my own investigation. Are you able to, if you wanted to, like as a citizen or as your position, can you do your own investigation? And would you be more satisfied in some cases? Like you said, you really don't get to hear the details. You're not on the inside of these investigations sometimes. Is that what you meant, what you were saying?
Law enforcement, correct. Law enforcement won't share anything about information. Now, it's a one-sided situation. I can share stuff with them. And then once they have, like, let's use Sebastian Acosta, the guy that beat the two dogs for the camera, as an example. We already knew about it. We have, you know, we were notified. I was notified through Wraith, our surveillance guy. It got out there as quickly as possible. Wraith pulled everything from the camera, got it to our DPD animal cruelty unit, and then they handed it. Then it was quiet. Once they had their suspect. And they knew about it, and it went out on Crime Stoppers is when we were notified about that situation.
Okay. Are you talking about the two dogs, the puppies?
Yeah, Angel and Sky, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that was horrific. Oh, my God. Oh, and to see it on camera live and not be able to stop it, it's got to be heart-wrenching.
But one thing that very few people know is when they put it out, they put it out to us that we could put it out on social media, and it was out on Crime Stoppers. I took my information, and they actually told me, DPD Animal Cruelty told me, do what you got to do. I said, what can I put out there? They said, do whatever you want to do. This is what we got.
You
do what you want to do.
Right?
So I actually put it out there, and I said, you can contact Crime Stoppers, or you can contact me. Well, I guess most people didn't want to contact the police. And this is a great example of, I mean, people not wanting to speak up. They want to speak up, but they don't want to talk to law enforcement.
Yep.
So
it happens
all
the time. People are afraid to get involved.
And I have all this recorded and documented, and that's one of my favorite things to say because I do it all the time. I have it recorded that day. Every phone call I got, I recorded in case I needed to hand it over to DPD. Well,
right.
The guy that killed the two dogs, it didn't take but about an hour and a half before I knew who he was, all the information about him. His friends are calling in on him, and not DPD, they're calling me.
Social media
and
is amazing. I know. It's really amazing.
And I was there. I actually drove by, and I was the one that notified about finding the truck that he was in, and I saw him in the window of his apartments and called 911 and notified the two animal cruelty officers. And I said, I have him in sight. Come get him. And
yeah, because you have to, they won't come unless they know where unless he's there. Like, they're not, like, running out looking for the guy, in other words.
Absolutely not. But it was, to answer your question, that one was, it was the last day my dog Dowdy, which was a pit bull, and he actually has a journey when I rescued him, and right before he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, he made it on to the rescue. It's a new dog national show that's out about dogs that have been rescued.
Aww.
And so it's kind of a tribute. But that was his last night alive. Is when we saw
him. Oh my God! I remember. I saw that video, and I did want to start the call by saying I give you my condolences on him because I did see that. I did see when that happened, and I thought to myself, you know what? You are such a strong man. In the wake of, you know, your dog passing, you were handling this case, and you didn't let the public down. You still stood up, and you still dealt with everything and found justice for those puppies in the midst of your sorrow. And so I commend you for that, you know, and I'm sorry about your dog.
I mean, I'm just glad I got to. He knew what love was for about 5 years before he passed. But that was the night we found him. That next morning, it was after 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock when he was arrested at his girlfriend's apartment. But again, yeah, I lost Daddy the next day. But it was like he stuck around just to make sure he saw one son of a bitch get killed behind bars. So,
yes, and
no,
you know what?
Don't.
And he was found there as well, right? So it's kind of significant.
Beyond, yeah. And, I mean, there's a whole story about him, you know, from the beginning. He made it on the news as well. I can share tons of links. If you just Google Dowdy Ferry, dogs and Dowdy Ferry, I mean, things will pop up. Just my name and dogs will pop up. There's just a million things.
Well,
and again,
I specifically remember seeing that that incident and that time when you lost him. So I'm glad that I was able to remember that now.
I have to be quiet. We have to be quiet as a team while they do their investigation. Now, what I'm doing now, I'm getting my lawyer. I'm going out of the country in about a week and a half, 2 weeks. I'll be gone for 2 weeks. When I get back is when things start moving even forward even more. I'm doing open records requests with the city of Dallas for every animal that's been dumped that has been caught on camera with the Dallas Marshals and City Code compliance. I'm doing open records requests on that. I'm doing open records, and this is with my lawyer, not me. I'm having my lawyer do this because we were investigated back in the days for dumping the dead dogs.
You were?
Me and my team, I was. I don't know who.
That's
I do know for sure I was. But they spent my taxpayers' dollars investigating. And, again, I felt like I was fighting against law enforcement and...
Oh, my God, that's crazy. You know what? I fight against the enforcement all the time myself, but that's like a real low blow for you to be investigated for that.
I was arrested
and thrown
in jail for 4 days, and my lawyer pulled me out, and he said there was no charges.
Why would they? I wouldn't even go there in my mind. Why did they even go there? Like, what made them even?
I can't go in there in my mind because we've moved forward from that, and that's where I say our progression has happened.
Yeah.
There's a new chief with the marshal's office. There's new marshals out there. We're not butting heads right now, but I'm also trusting, I'll butt heads again once my open records requests come back, and I'll find out more about. I'm also looking into how our animal cruelty unit is doing since we've pushed it into the city of Dallas. You know, they're saying they're understaffed. They're overwhelmed. They need at least one or two more officers.
Can I make a suggestion? I want to make a suggestion because it's something that I heard you say. And, you know, this is just something to ponder. I know you said, you know, of course, all of these things cost money. And I know as a rescue, I go 24/7. I live very minimalistic because all my money goes to the dogs and my mission. And, you know, you might want to think about at some point, for real, especially if you had a documentary put together, of starting a nonprofit for Dowdy Ferry and just have like a few of your core team start that nonprofit and start getting those donations.
We are a pending nonprofit. We are acknowledged statewide. We filled it out, and we're waiting on. It's any moment now that we will be. We got notified that we're a nonprofit, and then nationally, somebody came back I'm having somebody else take care of the paperwork. They had one question about.
Can you share the name? Would it be called something about Dowdy Ferry or?
No, it's the Dowdy Ferry Animal Commission is the name of it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I think you would benefit from that. I think that would really help a lot because if it wasn't for my nonprofit status, we get so much more support having that, and that would really help.
I've already been talking to people, and yes, so that is again progression in the near future. I'm a proud man. I don't like asking for money, and you know, so is my teammates. They're rather proud. They don't ask for a lot of stuff, but it's still, and you hit the nail right on the head. We've already been applied for that. We've been a pending nonprofit for a while. We're waiting on, because of COVID and everything, is so much slower as far as getting it nationally for some reason. But it's a matter of days to where I can officially confirm that we are good on the nonprofit status, if we're not already. Again, I got somebody else looking at that. It's been a holiday, so it may be this week where I can officially for sure confirm that we are nonprofit, full nonprofit status.
Oh, that's really, congratulations. That's really good. You know, there's a lot of people that have money that can't do what we do but want to help. So don't think of it as being like, oh, asking for money. People want to help. They want to make a difference, and they can live through you to help. So I would say take that advice.
Well, they showed me that a few weeks ago. They came through for me and one dog. I say me, one dog last week. It was more my stress level that was freaking me out. Usually, like I said, I don't ask for help.
I have a few questions. Okay. For one thing, when you find a dog, okay, do you have any luck at all scanning? Do you have a scanner? Do you have a micro? Do you have a microchip scanner on your team?
Yes,
and if you,
Both me and the night team have the microchip scanners. And
okay,
actually,
so do you ever have any luck, like finding the microchip and being able to locate owners that way?
Yes, we've scanned. I want to thank Dallas, City of Dallas, for mandatory microchipping. That's one thing they finally did as well, which showed some of these dogs. Yes, one incident. Here's a good incident actually relay on is. There's a dog adopted at Garland Animal Shelter as a pit bull, and his name was Titan. Two days later, he was shot twice in the head on Dowdy Ferry Road. Pretty much the same exact spot that we caught the guy beating the two pups. He was microchipped out of Garland Shelter, which is a suburb of Dallas, and we did find the owners, and one of Megan – one of our teammates, she actually called them, and they said they knew nothing about it. But again,
say they lost the dog. They said the dog was stolen. Like, what did they say?
The lady wouldn't talk. And the thing is we had. I mean, there is an investigation on it, but no arrests. But we didn't have our DPD animal cruelty unit at that time either.
Right.
So there was nobody technically to investigate.
They can't revisit that at this point.
At that time. Now they are able to do that, but they can link it back. And all they have to say is, I lost that dog, or my dog got out.
I know.
And if it's not on camera, those chips don't mean anything but notifying them that they found the dog dumped on Dowdy Ferry, which 99% of them already know it.
When I first learned about you, the first thing I thought of was, wow, they need cameras. And then I saw that you guys put cameras up. How long has the cameras been up at this point, and how many are there?
The cameras have changed. There's been, transition through all these years. We started
cams,
and they were getting stolen, picked up and stolen by followers. And, you know, even social media is good. We got bad guys. When you got that much attention, you got bad guys out there that
whether it be just want money for crack or
get rid of the cameras so they can keep on doing what they're doing. And there's, like I said, there's so many other violent crimes and thefts and all this evidence dumped out there. You know, they could snap these cameras rather quickly. That's why we had to transition over to
cell phone tower capability, right?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Cameras that are basically live feed data cams is what we call them. And
so what?
We had a transition from that.
Right. That's good. Why do you think that Dowdy Ferry Road is the ideal dumping ground? Like, what is it about that road, and how long is that road?
That road is, I would say, about 2 miles long from, and I say that, I mean, it's not very long, 2 to 3 miles long. Maybe the dumping area on Dowdy Ferry was only about a mile and a half to 2 miles.
I did not know that. I thought it was a longer road.
I call that the main artery, and then you got veins that feed off the artery that they dump as well.
How do you know that the dogs were deceased when they were dumped? my question is, was any necropsies ever done to see, like, the cause of death? I'm just asking because I'm so analytical when it comes to this stuff because I'm thinking to myself, how do we know that they were dead? You know what I mean? Before they left them there. How do we know?
Besides necropsies done by the SPCA, Dallas Animal Services, and two that were performed by my vet that had no weight because it wasn't law enforcement and or, I guess, people that have a contract with law enforcement to do these necropsies would do. If a dog is fresh enough, I was told many a times that they took the dog in and they would do necropsies on them.
Okay.
Per law enforcement, they died of natural causes. That's all I got from the higher-ups, the politicals is what I call them.
Because I'm sure that it's expensive to do, and they're probably not going to want to do it on every dog, you know what I mean? But it just dawned on me. I was like, I wonder, you know, if people –
I
found a big –
You asked about why Daddy Ferry, but I'll tell you one thing. I took two dogs in. I took two dead dogs off of Daddy Ferry, threw them in – put them in my car, and I took them to my vet. The head of the vet, which is now, they've expanded to I don't know how many vets in Dallas. It's one of the main veterinarian clinics in Dallas. Now, the main guy, the president, did the necropsies on these two dogs. And it was showing, from what he came up with, there were two sticks to the heart of euthanization.
There was two sticks. Well, are you talking about heart sticks?
Two dogs. Heart sticks of euthanization was the two dogs that I brought in to my vet to have necropsies.
Wow.
Okay. Now, to answer your question about the other necropsies with the city of Dallas, again, once I confirm I'm done with the non – it don't matter. Even without me becoming completely for sure 100% nonprofit. In the next few weeks or whatever, when I get back out of town, I not plan on it. It's going to happen. There'll be a more open records request than you can count. And
when you say
ORR,
open records request, what do you mean by that? Because I know what a FOIA is, like a Freedom of Information Act. What do you mean by open records
basically
request?
The FOIA is basically the same thing, but it's open records request is what the city of Dallas, we do in the city of Dallas for records. Have been put out by law enforcement, you know, council, whoever, Dallas Animal Services, anything that had to do with the city.
So as a holistic person, like I always try to look for like the core issue, like what do you think being like there? I know just in general, Texas is really rough for dogs. There's so many bad, I mean like Dallas is rough, Houston is really bad. What do you think it is about like that particular area, I always try to look at the core issue. Like, why are people dumping dogs? Like, what is the issue? Like, I know here in Virginia, where I live, it's totally legal to put your dog, discard your dog in the garbage if it passes away. So why are people choosing to put the dog there versus doing like that?
Regina, Jeremy, I'm going to have to interrupt here because we're down to 5 minutes. And,
Sorry.
Hey, Regina, you can always call me and I can answer all your questions as well.
All right, no problem. I said I didn't want to hog it. Sorry.
That's okay. You had some really good points there. That's really good. You can actually just stay on the line. I'm just going to see if anyone else wants to come on.
Yeah, definitely. Take another caller. And I want to stay in touch, Jeremy, for sure.
Absolutely. Reach out to me, Regina. You should have my number.
I will. I'll find it.
All right. Thank you.
If there's, we have any callers on 310-982-4270, if you would like to speak this up. There we go. I know who this is. We got a caller for you, Jeremy. And it is Barbara. Hi,
yes,
Barbara.
It is. Hi, guys.
How are you?
I had to call back because my phone got disconnected, but I'll make it quick. Well, you know what? My heart's broken. This gentleman here is a star. I just can't do what he does. I can't believe he does what he does. It's amazing. I bless you for that. I look up to you. I'm sitting here and I'm all like choked up too because I pick up dead animals when I see them. I carry everything in my truck. I bury them. But then I'm upset. How do you do it? I don't know how you do it. I just don't know how you do it. It's just too amazing. But my question with these prosecutors and judges, what we need to have are people who are compassionate about animals and really, really, really want to get these people behind bars and charge them. Because you know what I've heard? Oh, it's just a dog. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? So you are doing an amazing job, but we have to really, really hope when they get prosecuted, these judges are for, and officers and everybody are for the animal and not the person who did the crime. You know what I'm saying? And I know you've probably seen that before, and I know, Di, we did, you know, we've seen it with Ollie, we've seen it. And
I've seen it everywhere, and if I could say one new thing that I've learned, and I'm watching it all in the state of Texas and around, even out of the state of Texas, and that's maybe one of my next movements, elect the right people. If you don't elect the right district attorneys, they're not going to prosecute. If you don't elect the right judges, they're going to drop the bail amount. They're going to let these people go. I'm sure a lot of people saw the dog get whooped in Houston and beat in Houston,
yes,
and the judge gave it, or right around there, and then gave the dog back until pressure was put on by social media and animal advocates to do something about it. And I'm still haven't been able to follow up on it. But again, whoever you elected as your district attorney, make sure they're an animal, but make sure they're for the animals. When you elect a judge, make sure they're not backwoods thinking and think like ignorant people do from, I mean, back in the days. We're in 2022. Moving on.
You're right.
You know, this is civilization going forward. We cannot degress from civilization.
You guys got probably more calls. Listen, I just
thank
want
you,
to
Barbara.
Thank you for everything you did. No, and I want
to
follow you, so I got to go on your page.
Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate
you.
Yeah, I
was going to say, Jeremy, we're down to two and a half minutes. If you'd like to go ahead and give your contact information out, you know, your page and that, go ahead and do that.
Okay, well, our Facebook page, let's just go with our web page first. It's Doughty Ferry Animal Commission, DFAC.com. DFAC.com is our
DFAC.com.
Yes, ma'am. And that
will
be updated.
I'll find it. I'm sure Diane will have it. If I don't find it, she'll let me know. But
and
yeah,
then if there anybody's on social media, the Doughty Ferry Animal Commission, and you can just follow Jeremy Boss as well. There's going to be a lot of different movement going on, a lot of new education going on, a lot of new things moving forward into 2023.
Right. I'm so upset with this. You don't want to know because I can imagine how you feel. I can't. But I've seen that before. I've heard about that place. I've heard about it.
We're down to 90 seconds. I want to thank all our callers.
All right, go ahead. Thank you for speaking. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeremy, for being on.
Thanks for having me,
Diane. I'm going to have you back on again. You know, an hour is never enough time to cover some of these things. But next week's guest is going to be Lauren Santino. And she's going to be covering dogs in hot cars, which is a great subject to be on right now with the weather out there. You know, it makes you wonder why they have to be cold in the first place, not to take them in hot cars. But we'll be covering that. So I want everybody to tune in next week. And thank everybody for being tuned in tonight. Everybody have a really great night. And God bless everybody.
Yes.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thanks, everyone. Nice meeting you all.
Thank you, guys. Bless you all. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you, Barbara.
Have a good
trip, Jeremy.